Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, that's right. It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. And luckily for you, old Dirty Show and T-Mill have the latest for you. And the latest is the situation with Jaco DeRisi. We have gotten confirmation now. He had his MRI, and they are placing him on the 15-day IL, Clint. And some words from Dusty Baker as he spoke to the media. I was pleased with what I saw. I was surprised it wasn't swollen or black and blue. I was very surprised. Hopefully that's a good sign. A reminder that we don't know what it is, as the Astros have not disclosed what body part it is that is Odorizzi's injury. That was from Dusty Baker via Chandler Rome. So that's the latest. He is on the IL, and there have been some reports that it may not be as bad as they initially anticipated, but we'll see. We'd be surprised if he's just gone 2 weeks, right?
Well, look, I'm gonna stick to my initial gut response last night when I saw it happen. I literally immediately thought that's an Achilles, whether it's a tear or a strain. I don't know. It appeared to be a tear based off of how he didn't want to get up, like visibly didn't want to get up. If you read his lips, I'm not trying to get up. And then he got carted out, went strapped to a gurney. I mean, that told me that no question about it, that's an Achilles injury, number one, and probably an Achilles tear. Now, I don't know. I've never been in the doctor's office when somebody comes in a day after they tore their Achilles, so I don't know exactly what level of black and blue we're talking about, but it didn't look good, and based off of what I watched, I don't know how this is a 15-day IL stint. I don't know how it's not more than that for Jaco DeRisi. I pray it is. I hope it is. For the Astros' sake, I hope they get him, because he was on – look, that was four straight start of quality start, and I mean, he was working his way into being into consideration of being in this five- or six-man rotation consistently. Yeah. I mean, he was killing it, and it sucks to watch it, but, ooh, show, I don't know. It's hard
that
for me.
That didn't look like a 15-day injury.
Yeah, that didn't look like it didn't.
And it seems like this is just right now, this is where they're going to do, and then we'll see moving forward. But I'd be surprised if he's back in 15 days. So Jaco DeRisi down. They're bringing up Seth Martinez. He's going to be activated, another pitcher there. And according to pitching coach Big Josh Miller, is what they call him, the Astros will go back to a five-man rotation for the time being. So no surprise there. Christian Javier will be in the rotation now. And now we'll see how this affects the bullpen. And this affects how things moving forward.
Well, there's definitely going to be a hole somewhere, right? Yeah. That they've got to fill long term. Right now, Seth Martinez, is that what you said?
Yeah, Seth Martinez.
Seth Martinez. Right now that's the answer long term. I think this puts some pressure on Lance McCullers, not to come back sooner, but when you come back, you got to be right. I think it puts some pressure on Christian Javier of if you're going to be the fifth starter, then you got to do better than you did last time. Seven earned runs, that's for damn sure. You got to be more consistent. So we'll see what direction the Astros go, but it ratchets up the pressure on a couple of other guys long term.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, more with the Astros now on the diamond as they get set to try to get game two tonight as they lost yesterday 6-3. Jose Urquidy gets the ball. He's 2-1, ERA in mid-4, so we'll see if he can lower that. Going against who was their ace last year, Nathan Eovaldi, who they'll go head-to-head tonight. But the big news out of this, Clint, is the lineup. Jose Altuve's leading off. Brantley's there. Bregman's there. Yordan is there. Yuli and Kyle Tucker. That top six is there. But number 7, Jeremy Peña, is back in the lineup. He had missed the entire
La Tormenta. Boy, that played so nice right there. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard it. That really
yes, indeed.
This is the music you changed.
That's Sandstorm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thunderstruck.
So it's not Sandstorm. That's no, Thunderstruck.
You get it, show? Thunderstruck. La Tormenta.
I got it.
I think some folks can buy into that. I know 40 of his family members can.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. He's back in the lineup. Batting seven.
I see you.
He missed the opener of this series and missed the entire Washington series. They said they'd look for him to be back. He's got a bunch of family and friends, as Clint has said. So he is back in the lineup. Siri in center field and Maldonado catching. So Jeremy Pena's back. It'll be interesting to see how he looks tonight. Hopefully this, as you said, was just precaution. He's normal. It was weird that he didn't play in the Washington series Sunday because he woke up sore. They gave him another day, and he looks to be back tonight.
Yeah, a little bad news on the front end with this staff, with the rotation, but some damn good news on the back end, man. See if La Tormenta can pick up where he left off. Maybe give us a little post injury or post snag run like Altuve gave us. He was hot on the fire.
Got hot when he came out.
Yeah, man. Hopefully he can just ball out tonight in front of his family. First time his family's got to see him, and not his immediate family, but there's 40 of them, 40 plus.
There was a lot of people in that.
Yeah,
in that
man.
Pitch. A lot of people.
Hard not to like old Jeremy Pena, man. He's a hard one not to like.
I know the ladies don't.
What? They don't like him?
No, they like him. They like him a lot. Okay, man.
5 o'clock fire.
Is this what this is going to be? I'm mentally preparing myself for this.
It's badass, man.
That's
Embrace
badass.
It.
It's better than Jared
Bear. That's what I sound like. Okay.
You do. You went upstairs.
I thought you sounded pretty good, man.
Thanks, Clint.
I mean.
Up your show.
That's great, man. I don't. I love it. Listen to what I've created right there. My same catchphrase.
I'm glad I'm on the good side.
I'm so proud every time I look over there. All right. The NBA draft lottery is tonight. The Rockets are tied for the best odds to get the number one pick with the Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons. Be listening. Stay tuned. Coming up at 5:35, right before we get up out of here, Adam Spillane, who covers the Rockets as well as anybody for Sports Radio 610, he'll join us and give us the latest because he and Landry are doing a special tonight from 7 to 9. Well, they will break down everything and let you know exactly where the Rockets will be picking.
Spo will be able to catch us up on this Astros situation, too, with Jake Odorizzi. Give us a little insight on Seth Martinez and let me know why the hell Hunter Brown ain't considered. And he'll be able to catch us up on that, too.
Yeah, he will. But they'll be covering that tonight, but this is a chance. If you missed our conversation with Ryan McDonough earlier, he said overall this class isn't as good as last year's, but those top four are really good players that have a chance to really be good. That is Chet Holmgren, the forward out of Gonzaga, Paolo Banchero, the forward out of Duke, Jalen Ivey, the guard from Purdue, and then Jabari Smith, the forward from Auburn. Those four players seem to separate themselves from the rest of the group. The lowest that the Rockets can finish, Clint, is fifth. So you just hope that isn't what occurs. But I would hope that they finish above that. And this is a chance for them to add another piece, a potentially big-time piece, to this young group.
I am so happy.
Them boys been living right, man. They've been living right over there. They'll get a pick in the top four and get one of them big boys
I just hope it's not Chet. I feel bad for saying that.
That's who Landry wants it to be.
Yeah, he keeps saying that. I just like when you're drafting, which I think the Rockets will be in the top three. Man, you're trying to get somebody, especially if they're available, you're trying to get somebody who you think can be an absolute star. That's why I love what they did with Jalen Green last year. Anybody we talked to Ryan McDonough, he said he thinks he's going to be a future scoring champ. Like, that guy's got the potential, and you can see it, to be a big-time star. Like, man, I can't look at Chet and think his body's going to change like Giannis.
Well, that's the toughest part for me is, like, talking to Ryan McDonough was like, I mean, you got to get the doctors and the strength conditioning staff involved and see if his body can carry more weight. How much more weight can it carry? Can he physically get there in the next 2 or 3 years? 195. I've been 195 pounds since my junior year in high school.
And I don't think he's that heavy.
Boy, that's narrow.
Did you see him in that suit? That
yeah,
like
but
it
that still don't look 195.
It what? That suit.
I mean,
like
how much you weigh, T?
180.
I mean, that's some buck 7 foot tall. You think? I mean, he got Tyler about 15 pounds.
Hey man, I got a clean 12. I can give him right there. I'll lend him. I got
a solid 30. I can give him.
You can give him 30. Oh now, yeah. Now we're talking. If he took your 30 and my 12, now we're talking.
Oh, Rafi. Oh, Stone. Go ahead and draft him, man. I got 30 pounds I'll give him.
Yeah, 30. Yeah, we'll see about that. Vincero is the guy for me. I think his game translates the most. Like, he's somebody you're hoping to maybe try to take a little weight off. That's easier. He's 6'10", 250, but can dribble and handle and shoot and score from any part of the court. So that I'd like to pair him with Green and the rest of the young guys like Sagoon and Porter if they want to roll with him. I like him a lot, so I hope they get in a position to be able to get him.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, finally, Clint, the PGA Championship gets started on Thursday, and we'll have Bob Herrick, who's done a lot of work, written a lot about Tiger and Phil. He'll join us tomorrow to get us caught up with this. But Tiger is going to play. He came out and said that his leg feels stronger than it did at the Masters, which he made the cut, and then the weekend happened, and then all hell broke loose for Tiger. But he is being paired.
I know the ratings were through the roof for the first five days of that damn tournament.
He's being paired in the first round, Clint, with Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, the three of them. That's the threesome as the PGA Championships get going. So they, you know, a lot of cameras will be on for them with those three, but Tiger, we'll see what happens there with him.
Looking forward to it, man. That's a hell of a, again.
No Phil. I mean, that's the only thing. No Phil.
Yeah, that deal's
staying away, boy.
Yeah, that Phil Mickelson deal's interesting, but the fact that Thursday and Friday golf right now with Tiger. I mean, used to look. I've always been a Tiger fan, and I'm no fool. I understand Tiger makes it the ratings go through the roof. But there was a day when really I didn't need to see Thursday, Friday. I just wanted to sit down Saturday and Sunday and watch Tiger. It's flipped. It's done a 180 for me. Like, I don't know if Tiger's going to be there on the weekend.
But I'm in Thursday.
Thursday and Friday, I'm here for game.
And you know what? Y'all could be here, as our trusty producer reminded me in my ear. You should have just said it on the air. We'll be at Texadelphia, baby.
Yeah.
40,
yeah.
50 TVs
hell of a
out
spot.
There. It's
hell
a
of a
good spot.
Spot
to come watch Tiger, Rory, and Justin Spieth, the old Texas kid. It's a good spot to come watch it. Come join us. We'll be out there from 2 to 6 at Texadelphia and Memorial. So come on out and have a good time as the PGA Championship starts. All right, listen. You don't want to miss this. Coming up next, there is new information that could change the suspension for Deshaun Watson and new information coming out from his testifying under oath about the 22 lawsuits being posed towards him. You don't want to miss what came out of that. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Adam Spolane coming up here in about 15 minutes. He'll give us an update of what's happening tonight. Make sure you stay tuned 7 to 9. Him and Landry Locker will give you the draft lottery will have you and hold it down and let you know everything you need to know about that. But, Clint, this may be a game changer. The thing we've talked about with Deshaun Watson, we talked about yesterday, is reports that he was going to meet with the NFL this week. Well, we're hearing that started already. And I want you to listen to this. Listen to this and tell me if this changes your thoughts at all about how the league could handle Deshaun Watson's suspension what this would mean in terms of what the consequence would be, because this is a wrinkle that we haven't really discussed a lot. Adam Schefter, ESPN, he comments on Watson and the NFL and the process of them meeting this week. Adam Schefter, we'll get that coming up soon here. Adam Schefter, he did speak about this, and it's interesting because this is kind of a I don't know if it's a game changer, but it is different than what we were thinking. We all thought that Roger Goodell would be the decision maker, but according to Adam Schefter, something different here.
The NFL would like to reach a decision sooner rather than later, preferably sometime this summer, to bring closure to this particular situation that's hung over Deshaun Watson, the National Football League, for quite some time. But he is scheduled to meet with NFL officials this week. And keep in mind that this will be the first case under the new collective bargaining agreement. So Roger Goodell will not make the ruling. It will come from a recommendation of Lisa Friel, Todd Jones, various NFL officials, not Roger Goodell as it now exists under the new terms of the collective bargaining agreement with personal conduct policy cases, but that will continue to be expedited this week.
All right, this is the first time that happens, and this isn't, you know, always been that Roger Goodell is the judge, jury, and executioner and makes all the decisions. Well, from this point, this is the first case that is falling under the new way they're doing things from the CBA, and Lisa Friel and her team are going to be the ones basically making the decision on what the consequences will be. Does that change your thoughts on how this could go down?
Absolutely. That's a hell of a first date, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a hell of a first date. Yeah, I mean, look, you start talking
the
20, about
the old 22 lawsuits.
Yeah, 22 civil lawsuits on a top five quarterback in the NFL. Hello, what kind of precedents are you going to set here with your first decision? You know, I mean, I'd imagine, I don't know how many, he didn't give a number. He mentioned two names and said multiple NFL officials. But the fact that it's not Roger Goodell, I think Roger Goodell has the ability, as you said, you know, makes all the decisions. And I think he can poke his chest out and walk around like he is, you know, he's the man, he's done it before, trust him. Almost one of those deals where I don't know that there's a whole lot of concern for Roger Goodell of how things are going to look moving forward. When you get a new way of doing things, a new process where other people are now making the decision, and it's the first time in a long time. I don't know if it's the first time forever. I know it's a new collective bargaining agreement that's been agreed to, but I don't know if before several years ago, many years ago, that Lisa Friel and a group of people in those positions made these decisions. But I know this is the first time in a long time that somebody other than the commissioners making these types of decisions. Do you want to come out the first time that you have to review a case and make a decision and not hold someone accountable? Do you want to fall short in terms of what the expectations are from a discipline perspective? Or do you want to make a statement and set a precedence to the players of, man, we're not going to put up with this. We're not going to condone it. We're going to drop the hammer. It's the times of you being able to do whatever the hell you want to do.
Generally,
in
that's
the league
how people
protecting
do it, right?
You. Yeah, I
people
mean.
People want to make, an example.
Yeah.
This is a big example. And Lisa Friel, who is running this, optics have to, you know, you'd wonder. I wonder how that affects this. I wonder, is this a, we're going to put the hammer down, or is this, this is an interesting thought of how they go by and how they handle this, because they want optics. We talked about this yesterday. Optics is a big thing with this, is to make it seem like the NFL is taking stuff like this very serious, but also to understand, hey, are we punishing somebody who hasn't done anything? Like, are we punishing somebody who hasn't, like, to that medium, or that middle ground of how they have to react to this? So this is really intriguing.
Original question is, was it a game changer? I think absolutely it's a game changer to some degree. I don't know that she's going to come in there dropping the hammer on anybody, but you know, I do think it's significantly different than the almighty, the one person, the commissioner that's always made these decisions and has his experience, and it almost has the ability to go, hey, I've done this before. Y'all take a back seat and listen up. This is different, man.
The one thing we can throw out, in my opinion, especially now, and there's one thing you have to throw out. Okay, how much influence does Roger have here? You know, you wonder how much he has. Well, but the thing you can throw out with this, if it's true, if it's Lisa Friel and her investigation team that is coming down with what they feel like the punishment should be, well, you can kind of throw precedent out the window, right? Before you think, all right, well, this is how Roger has acted before, and this is what he's done. Now you don't know what the hell it is.
She's setting anew, right? I mean, that's where it's at, man. I just think it's definitely a game changer. The minute I heard it earlier, that's the one part that jumped off the radio, jumped out of the speaker, was Adam Schefter talking about this ain't the same old process. Somebody else is making
it
this decision.
It will not be Roger Goodell's.
Yeah. We'll see how it all unfolds, but that's interesting.
By the way, also with the Deshaun Watson situation, he's obviously been testifying and having to deal with Tony Busby here, going through all these meetings here, and he was testifying under oath, and Deshaun Watson admits, according to USA Today, that Ashley Solis, the woman who came forward, she actually spoke. She spoke. We played that here and told her story. Cried. He admits that she cried at the end of the massage last week. Watson testified, according to USA Today, that in his pretrial depositions, that a massage ended with the therapist crying, and he admitted that he sent her an apology via text message. So these things are starting to come out here, and I mean, I don't know what else what this does towards him or how this goes about in this pretrial or in this trial, but we're potentially starting to see some of the things trickle out about what's being talked about in these depositions.
Yeah, I mean, this is one that if we would have dug through the details, because there was, I remember now going through the initial lawsuit that he had sent. And I don't know if it was the initial lawsuit. Maybe it was something we heard down the line. But I remember when the text messages surfaced that he had sent an apology. So it'd be hard for him to deny that something went awry during that particular one. So, but when Deshaun is being questioned, and he admits that, you know, a massage session ended with a therapist crying, that's confirmation that it happened. That's not he said, she said. Clearly, he's confirming it.
Yeah, and once again, not saying that he did anything or didn't. Just, I mean, that's what came out of the deposition. All right, coming up, Adam Spolane, who covers everything, everything, Rockets and Astros. He's going to be a part of the NBA draft special that'll be on right here on Sports Radio 610 from 7 to 9. He'll join us coming up next to let us know everything we need to know leading up to that. And maybe we'll talk to him a little bit about what's happening with the Astros, the news of Pena back in the lineup, and then the latest on Jake Odorizzi. Adam Spolane coming up next.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, here we go. A big night here in Houston. A big night for your Houston Rockets. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Tyler back in this piece. And we are joined by Sports Radio 610 Rockets insider Adam Spolane. And he's giving us a little preview because tonight he and Landry Locker, 7 to 9 o'clock, they'll have their NBA draft lottery special. They'll break down and react to what happens with the NBA draft lottery. And as I know you know, Adam, the Rockets have a 14% chance tied with the Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons for the chance to get the first pick. And just from you, how big is this for the Rockets tonight?
But it's important. It's not quite as important as last year's, because the downside isn't what last year's was. Last year, they would either finish in the top four or they would have dropped all the way to 18th had the coin basically flipped the other way. So this year, the downside is they can only fall as far as five. So they've got a 52% chance of landing in the top four and then a 48% chance of landing with the fifth pick. And when you look at the top three, I think on most draft boards right now, you're looking at three skilled big guys with Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga, Jabari Smith from Auburn, and Paolo Banchero from Duke. And that's a real – that's an area of need for this team. This team needs some size. Last year, they rarely played two guys together that were even taller than 6'6". I mean, they were – they had two guys who were taller than 6'6 in the rotation. That was Alperen Şengün and Christian Wood. And those two really couldn't coexist on the floor together. So they need to be able to find a way to get a little bit more size on the floor. And I think that any of the three could play with Şengün or Wood if needed. So I think that's where it's important, because once you get past those three, you really don't have the skilled big guys in this draft.
Which one do you prefer, Adam? I don't want to get too deep into it because I know you guys have a special tonight, and I want everybody out there that's listening right now to make sure you plug in, stay tuned in to Sports Radio 610 at 7 o'clock tonight for these guys to give you all the details and all the goods. But just your opinion of those top four, which one would you select if you had one overall to fit perfectly in with the Rockets?
So I would probably go Holmgren just because of the ceiling. And I don't think we've ever seen anyone like Chet Holmgren before, where he's 7'3" and can put the ball on the floor and shoot. And he's a wonderful rim protector. I don't think we've ever seen anyone who really is like that and fits that profile. It's obviously going to be risky. He's really, really skinny. And again, you haven't seen somebody like him with that skill set before, but that's where I think I would go. I think the cleanest fit for them with what they have would be Jabari Smith. So if I'm them, I would probably lean Holmgren or Smith. I think that would be the top two on my board if I were the Rockets.
All right, real quick, if you had to put your money on it, who you would think would be the one that is going to be an all-star, perennial all-star, that the most consistent player, who do you think it would be?
Now there's a difference, because I think that Jabari Smith is probably the most consistent guy, but I don't know if that means perennial all-star.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to go with Holmgren. I think that Holmgren's ceiling is that of a perennial all-star. So I think that's where I would go in that direction. I think that Smith's floor is higher, but the ceiling is a lot lower on him.
That's Adam Spolane of SportsRadio610.com, SportsRadio 610 Rockets Insider. That ain't all, Spo. Spo doesn't just stick with the Rockets now. He's also heavily involved in covering the Astros. And I don't want to give too much away of that. Like I said, that special tonight, 7 p.m. Landry Locker and Adam Spolane will have you covered with that Rockets draft lottery tonight. But I want to get, before we let you go, I want to get into this Astros conversation, man. With Jaco DeRisi going out, pretty simple, man. What does that mean, for the Astros?
Well, we got to see exactly what the injury is. The team has not really given any sort of an update, except that they've placed him on the IL, which you would have figured when they took him off on a stretcher yesterday. But obviously, it just hurts the depth of the rotation. They had six starters, and they had a seventh with Lance McCullers, who is making progress in his rehab. So now you lose that depth. It looks like they're probably going to have to go with a five-man rotation right now. I don't think that's something that they wanted to do just because their schedule is so condensed right now, where they really don't have a lot of off days. So it hurts the depth, and it just means if one guy gets hurt before McCullers gets back, then you're stretched thin and you're having to go to AAA, or you're having to go maybe outside the organization to try and find a starting pitcher. So they've had some depth in the rotation, but depth is great until you actually have to use it. So I think that would be the one concern for them right now. And obviously, Odorizzi was pitching really, really well. And I think that people got, last year people had kind of the wrong impression of him just because he didn't have a full spring training. He signed a little bit late, then he got hurt right away, and then he just never was able to get his footing. This year he had the bad start against the Angels, but it sounded ridiculous when he said it. He said, my stuff is good, I'm just not getting results. And it sounds ridiculous when you're getting chased in the first inning, but the data matched up with that. And then you've seen really every start since then, he was terrific, including last night before he got hurt. So it's a shame for him, because it looked like he was really starting to put it together here.
Hey, Adam, real quick for the audience, kind of catch people up on Seth Martinez. That's who the Astros have called up and brought up to replace him. What's the book on Seth?
Yeah, he's a right-handed bullpen arm who was up with them a little bit last year. He's a guy that they like. He was on the roster for the doubleheader in Minnesota last week. So right now he's just kind of a right-handed reliever who's going to be in their bullpen. And again, he's a guy that's been in the organization for a little bit. So a guy that they're high on, a guy who was a reliever in the minor league. I mean, they probably have some other guys that they could have brought up, like the Solomon kid who's going to start for them today in AAA. But they needed a reliever, and he kind of just fits in perfectly with that mix. So again, a guy who's been in the organization, they know him. So a solid, you know, kind of bullpen arm that you need to get through a full season.
Spo, what talk to me a little bit about the Hunter Brown kid. Has he got a chance at some point?
Yeah, he's probably I don't know where exactly they rank him prospect wise, but yeah, he's a pretty big prospect for them. There's just not really space for him right now. I think that's a guy down the road that you look at. He's going to be really a key factor and really be a big part of their rotation moving forward. Pitching really well right now in AAA. Maybe he gets an opportunity this year to make his big league debut. I think if there's a starter that gets hurt and has to miss significant time and they really need a guy out of AAA, I think that he's a guy that you could wind up seeing. But he's got a great arm. The results have been just outstanding this year, and he's a guy that I know they're really excited about. There's a couple guys over there in AAA that are having really good seasons, and this is not a team that you really think of just with a lot of minor league depth just because they've lost so much of it over the last couple of years and the trades and scandal and losing some draft picks. But there's some guys in AAA who can really play.
All right, real quick before we get you out, you mentioned Lance. Any update on Lance McCullers, where he is, that you're hearing?
So I believe the last update from him was over the weekend, and they said that he was going to throw 90 feet three straight days. And so, again, it's just it's basically incremental progress every single day with him. So, you know, it was progress the last homestand when he was able to play catch back-to-back days. Now the fact that he's able to stretch it out to 90 feet, that's a significant, I think, benchmark in his rehab. But I still think you're probably looking at more than a month, maybe even a month and a half at this point. He still hasn't thrown off the mound, still hasn't faced hitters. So those are the other thresholds that he still needs to cross.
All right, Spo, we'll be listening to you and Landry tonight, 7-9, as Adam Spolane, our Rockets insider, and Landry Locker. Of course, you hear him every day from 10 to 2. On In the Loop, coming up from 7 to 9. Stay tuned, man. We'll be listening.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Adam Spolane. Hey, 3 days in a row, 90 feet.
Yeah, I mean,
Lance,
that's
how about that? All right, Lance, get close. Month? You hear, Spo? I'd say about a month. And he thought, let me table that. Maybe had a little time today. About a month and a half away. For Lance McCullers.
What Landry call the first time? August?
Yeah, he called him August. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I think that's where we're trending.
Yeah, a month from now, June 17th? Hell no, Lance ain't going to be back here for no June 17th. No, not a chance. All right, Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Tyler Milner. Remember, coming up behind us, Texans All Access. They're going to talk about the Texans offense and a little bit of some stats from the AFC South.
Rock and roll, meow.
That will be intriguing. Remember after that, as we just talked to Adam Spolane, our NBA draft lottery special, Landry Locker, Adam Spolane, 7 to 9 p.m. Clint, before we move on and get out of here, I got to call Tyler out.
Call me out. That's what
this
you're doing right now?
This is always fun. This is a Call Tyler Out Tuesday.
Yeah, it's great.
Is today Tuesday?
Yeah, it is. It's Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Listen, earlier, you know, I don't like to do this as it happens from time to time, but to get to the call out, I have to explain it. You missed it, and you may have thought it was my fault. Tyler completely blew it earlier when I was calling for audio as a sneaky setup of, hey, Adam Schefter had this to say. And
I did miss it. That's on me.
And he fell asleep at the wheel and missed it. And then I had to circle back around and say a bunch. Had to do my Nick Caserio impersonation.
Shredded lettuce, by the way.
Yeah, Nick Caserio impersonation to get back to Tyler until he was ready for the audio. But he played the audio. And that's not even it. I would never even mention that Tyler screwed up. I would never mention that.
You just did.
I wouldn't have, but the part
to the world, boss may be listening.
The part that I want,
hope I'm here tomorrow,
to call you out on. The part I want to call you out on is in my ear, Clint. He apologized. He said, "Damn, my B."
My B?
And that's my issue. This is a guy who hates ASAP. This is a guy
who
doesn't want velo. But you, because why won't you just say the name? Just say it.
Yeah, and we're in radio, and when I'm getting in y'all's ear, I'm being as quick and efficient as possible so you can hear your host.
No,
yes.
Get out of here.
Yes.
You can't say my bad. My
bad. My bad all the time, but I'm trying to be quick. I don't want to be in your ear talking your ear off while you're trying to do a radio show. See, I'm being considerate for you, and you're trying to call me out.
Did you tell him you were going to do this, or is this off the cuff?
This is off the cuff. I did not.
That is a great response, Tyler.
You think it's a great?
It's the truth.
Oh, I mean, it's you
might be my bad.
I mean, what are you? I mean, I'm sitting over here and I'm going, I'm on show's team, Tyler. That was bad. You can't do it. But when you couch it like that,
couch it.
I mean, I hate ASAP, but I'll say in your ear if it saves some time.
You weren't thinking that fast to save time. The audio was playing.
I am always thinking that fast.
Well, there's nothing.
You click on all the time when Seth is talking to, and I don't get it. I can't hear what Seth is saying to have conversations.
Well, you've never told me that before.
It's not a big deal, but you're saying it right now. Oh, I could have said my bad, but I wanted to get in and out.
I'm trying to be quick, man.
You're lying.
I'm trying to be
quick.
Just
admit it. You shorten words.
Nope. I do not shorten words because I'm not lazy and it's annoying.
You do.
You took two letters off.
Come on.
Hey, those two letters could be the difference.
You said my bad.
My B could be the difference.
They're all one syllable.
I'm going to sit this one out because I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I was team show, and then when you gave that excuse, like, I'm team Tyler.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, I'm serious because, like, my pet peeve, the one thing I can't stand that makes my blood boil briefly is when Tyler plays audio, and it's audio that I'm trying to listen to so I can pinpoint something.
I love it.
And he talks in our ear long-winded
wise. It's my favorite part.
I found that out quickly.
I found my favorite.
Oh, you can see it in my face.
When I first started producing for y'all, I found out quickly. Do not get in Clint's ear unless it is urgent.
Well, no, I just, because I'm trying
to. We lost Tyler for the rest of the show.
Well, unlike show, I'm actually listening to what's being said or what my
show is saying. I can just multi-say. I can listen through him. I can listen through him.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I can listen through.
So I appreciate. I don't know, Joe. This is a tough one for me, man. I should probably set this one out.
Just
I gotta
set
this one out.
You do short words.
I look out for my guys. That's what I do.
You did it too quickly.
I look out for you. That's my B, I guess. My bad.
You did it too quickly.
I'm sorry. I
came right off my B. No, man.
Being
quick. That's one syllable. My bad. My B.
NASCAR bad.
For the record, he was in my ear at the time because I heard my B.
He said my B. Oh, yeah, he said it.
I'm just lending proof to his point, his excuse that he's making, or his reason. It wasn't an excuse.
It's reasoning, man.
I would never in everyday conversation look at you and say, hey, show my B.
You did it today.
That's dumb.
You sure did it today.
That's not right. That is communication NASCAR pit crew style.
You know what?
For the best of the show.
Can you remember the last time he's done
NASCAR pit crew
Can you remember
style.
The last time he's gotten in real short? Because you're the one who gets pissed off. He seems to be pretty long-winded. He seems to go out there and just say full things.
He's pretty quick with me when he knows I'm trying to listen.
My B. As soon as he said it, I lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh, I'm getting this.
I appreciate the awareness, Tyler. Awareness. I appreciate
you,
the awareness. I appreciate the effort, Bob.
This is a bold-faced lie.
100%.
He just slipped up. He just slipped up.
You know what?
And went my B.
No, I slipped up not having the audio ready. I didn't slip up in
you
any other way.
You slipped up on both accounts.
And that doesn't even happen often. But I appreciate you calling me out and letting the world know I screwed up.
Yeah, you screwed
it
up.
It happens. I'm not perfect.
Just admit it. You shorten up words. All of us do.
I don't. It's annoying.
This is a guy who hates ASAP. Don't say ASAP. But he'll say, my B.
I don't say my B. I said it once because I'm trying to be quick, and that's all there is to it.
My B.
I'm going to be honest. I would not have been mad if you'd left the A and the D on there because my B sounds kind of squirrely. But
my bad.
But your reasoning, damn, that was good, Tyler.
God, you just get suckered in. You just
I'm just telling you, man.
Him.
That no,
just
no,
have a
no,
soft
no,
spot
no.
For him,
I do have a soft spot for both of you guys for some reason. I don't know why your ass, but I mean seriously, that was good.
It was not.
That's thinking on your toes.
I was thinking on his toes. It didn't amount to anything.
I'm just sorry. I'm looking out for you, man.
And it's a
my
pet
bad.
Peeve. It's a pet peeve, right? Like awareness. I mean, it's like I mean, we all have different strengths and weaknesses, but like, there's no excuse not to have like average awareness. I was giving my nieces and nephews this talk this weekend after a few Coors Lights.
Oh boy, this must have been a great talk.
No, I mean it's just I mean the awareness. Like, I've never cornered Tyler and been like, "Hey man, stay your ass out of my ear." When I mean, he clearly
that's that one time you did
he's
respond.
Clearly
to
him. Paying
him.
Attention.
No, he's not clearly. You made it plain with your words.
What did I say?
Here.
What I do?
Nick, get out of my ear!
No, I did.
It was something you definitely. That's exactly what it is.
I had to reel him back in.
I screamed.
I had to go in and talk to him on his own. This is we've really pulled the curtain back here. We lost
Y'all didn't
him.
Tell me that.
We lost him for an hour. We lost Tyler for an hour.
This is like the first week I was working with
one
y'all.
Of the first
oh, well,
month.
Hell.
One of the first, for the first month. I had a nurse. Hell. I'm like, dude, man, it's cool, man. You got to
set the tone. It's no big deal.
This is the guy.
I was
that,
not setting the tone. I was obviously frustrated in it. Setting the tone. But I did not know I voiced it.
I had to tell him, like, this is a guy that is used to having earpieces in his ears and people yelling to play and get out of his ear.
Yeah, I don't know. The bad thing was
so we had come a long way.
Chief, we had a producer one time, and I'm not going to say any names, but they were like, hey, look, I just want you, like, I want you to be, I'm coachable, like, I want you to just treat me like I'm in the huddle, like I'm a player, and like you're coaching, you know, and I was like, yeah. Oh, okay. So there was no filter, and not on purpose.
I don't know why you believe that.
Not on purpose, there was, in hindsight, there was no, it was just like walk in and be like, hey, don't do that anymore.
I had to come around there and clean those up, too. Had to come around here. Had to come around the back.
Shows mopping everything up
with my broom. Damn. Like, hey, listen.
Damn, I didn't know it was that bad, T.
Can't take that personal.
I honestly don't remember that.
Oh, he was hot.
I'm coming into a new job, and I'm already on edge, and I'm trying to figure all this out for the first time. And
those facial, I can still remember the facial expressions he was making back there. Oh, God, it was great.
I didn't know, and then I found out. Moved forward.
I think I came with the tough look. Hey, man, come on, man. Snap out of it.
You did.
Snap out of this, man. Get out of this,
like,
man.
It show I'm fine, man. You're like, come on now.
No, you're not. Like, you've been going for an hour, dog. You've left us for an hour. Like, get out.
Oh, I do remember that day. Oh, good times. Good
I wish I could remember it.
That's good. That's rich. God, I don't remember it. Yeah, that was the first time.
I'm trying to work on my tone, guys. I've been trying for 20
And you know
years.
What? You've done better, right? He's done better.
Oh, yeah, and we actually know each other.
Actually, I'm going to be honest. He's significantly better. So I can't get mad. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to sit here and go, yeah, boy, I've really done a good job. And I've
but
no,
he's
no,
got
Tyler's
better.
Crushing it, so there's less of me to get
better.
There's less of me to bitch about.
That's fair. That's fair.
God, Lord. That was great. That was my favorite part of the show. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access.
Damn, I should be aware of those moments.
Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Yeah, you didn't see the difference? You don't remember that hour difference?
I don't. Tyler. I don't remember it happening.
Was as short as... As
I check
am.
My wife, make sure I didn't do anything, make her say anything last night.
Yeah, man. No, I think Lowe would tell you. All right, Texans All Access behind us. And then tonight, the NBA Draft Lottery Special, 7-9. Landry Locker, Adam Spillane. Make sure you hang around and stay tuned as they will get you set with where the Rockets will be drafting. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job improving. I am Ron, the show Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
As a mother of the show, he just looks out for us.
Shove it up your ass, Peter.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. He worries like a mother, doesn't he? Like, I'm not a big lotion-y guy all the time. And